the players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible!
In a world where some call it football, football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue. The other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour.
Let us put some sauerkraut on your hot dog.
That's right.
USA Hour. If we are too loud or too quiet, let us know in the chat. We are an artisanal podcast, and we do not have a technical director yet. Still waiting on one. But anyway, yeah, if we're too quiet, listen too loud, if we're just right, let us know. We're hoping to be just right.
I have to sneeze.
Sneeze. A pusha.
Ooh.
Pusha. Hello. God. Gesundheit.
Danke. May Dankeschön. God. Dankeschön.
Bitte schön. May God bless you. Right? Because when you sneeze, it's your soul leaving your body, I believe.
So they say. It's got to keep it. Got to keep it in there if you can.
That's what the science.
Not everybody can.
I'm hearing a dog bark. What do we got going on over there?
There's a lot going on in my house.
How many animals do you have again? Five?
Three.
Oh, three. Nice.
I mean, unless you count my children, then it's five.
Ew. Oh, I went. Well, guess what I did last week?
What did you do last week?
I went to Quentin Tarantino's theater to watch a midnight screening of Pulp Fiction on his private 35.
So, okay. Does it hold up? I thought so.
I think it's a masterpiece. It's his best movie. And you know what's funny about the movie? Not funny, but Quentin Tarantino's known for being like editor, filmmaker, du jour. And there are really, really cool filmmaking moments, editing moments. Mm-hmm. But most of the scenes, most of the moments are in the wide, still. And it's just theater that's happening in front of you. People are mm-hmm. acting. They're playing levels. Like at the end of the in the diner scene with the lady with what's her face with the gun up top?
Amanda Plummer.
Amanda Plummer up top. Sam Jackson bottom left of the screen holding a British guy. What's his name?
Tim Roth.
Famously played Zepp Ladder in the worst movie of all time, Priest Fatifa. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like levels. Sam Jackson, bottom up close. Amanda Plummer, far up right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, the composition is.
Right? So just a man. Great movie. Great movie. Great movie all around.
It's great.
Have you seen Passions, the Tim Roth FIFA movie where he plays Zepp Ladder?
I have not. No, I must. I'm behind with all the soccer movies. You told me about the Thomas Wrong, and I haven't seen that. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Let's play a game. You know the story of Passions, right? But FIFA made a movie, then no one went to it because it was right during the scandal.
Yeah.
And it lost more money than any movie in history, I think. All right, let's see.
The Passions of the Christ.
Now that's the opposite. Passions, FIFA movie. The budget was here, Tim Roth, who then apologized, said he had a kid going through college, so he had to work. Where is the filmography?
Tim Roth has to have to apologize. Yeah. He's been in some clunkers.
Yeah, but I don't know. This was a super clunker. Oh, United Passions, 2014. He played Zepp Ladder. And by the way, of all the actors who play Zepp Ladder, Tim Roth, number one. It starred Sam Neill and Gerard Depardieu.
Wow.
It had a budget of $32 million. Mm,
real movie.
Real movie. It premiered
not Star Wars, but a real movie.
It premiered at Cannes Festival. And what is the global box office take, do you think, for United Passion?
$45,000.
Not far off. The global box office, which is likely inflated, is $168,000. Of $32 million.
This is what the Bundesliga would have done with this investor money. They would have produced a feature film about with Till Schweiger as Hans-Georg Watzke.
Yeah. You know what?
Who's going to play Don Garber in the MLS movie when they, you know, after Messi's done, they're going to have all that Apple money. They're going to
Joe Pesci
as Don Garber.
He'd be a good Don Garber. I think it would really. Mm. You know what would be a decent Don Garber? Tony Shalhoub. I could if I
Tony Shalhoub. That's a good one.
Stanley Tucci.
Ed Norton, perhaps.
Yeah, A list. Yeah, he could play anything. You know,
Daniel Young wants to know, what are your thoughts on the NYCFC loss? You want to get me started?
Good thoughts.
What are my thoughts?
Good, right? The good thoughts, I imagine.
This was. Should I go? Should I go on? Is it time? Is it time for me to? Is it time? What?
Almost.
Okay.
Give me 30 seconds.
Well, I have.
We waited. Apple TV is back. Messi Wednesday night 2-0. Then we have the weekend. NYCFC at Charlotte. My team at Nashville. We'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
Miami at Galaxy. Fun games on last night. So MLS is back, baby. MLS is back. You waited all season.
So you are the enthusiastic voice. Now, let me preface this by saying I decided when NYCFC came around to not be a Euro snob, to embrace the league as best as I could, and warts and all, and be all in. And I've been true to that. I've been an MLS stan throughout. This was a difficult week for me in that regard. Because
expand on that, because that's a bigger issue. That's huge.
It all goes hand in hand, right? Your emotional state. One's emotional state. You can't just separate what got you into a certain mindset. So it was a lot of different things. Like, for example, Don Garber. We mentioned the Don Garber, who I also in general am positively disposed towards. I think I would say more so than not, more than you certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I recognize the difficulty, perhaps impossibility of his job, this league that is despised by even many fans of the game in this country. It's a difficult, and he can't do anything, you know, like if he does it like Europe, he gets criticized if he doesn't. So I am a Don Garber sympathizer, or empathizer at least. But this was another difficult week for that as well for me, because this U.S. Open Cup thing we already discussed is still sort of unresolved. And then he came out and had some things to say about the referees that also didn't quite ring true to me. I mean, what took the capper is that he said he accused the media of being lazy for making MLS all about Messi. He said there's much more going on in MLS than Messi, and it's kind of lazy by the media to just focus on that. Now, this is from a man whose official government state-run, you call it the state-run media website on Apple TV, is all Messi all the time. We can watch hours of documentary about Messi in America. We can scan QR codes that give us the Messi pregame playlist. I want the Keaton Parks pregame playlist. Where is that? When is that coming my way? That's where's the QR code for that? I don't know.
Can I pause real quick for your beautiful rant? I just, when that came on, I always wanted to scan it, and I was just dying it for it to be Xanadu. Over and over again.
It's like you have tied your entire ship. You have launched all your sails. You've planted your sail firmly in Lionel Messi's rectum, and now that's the media's fault. Now it's the media, by the way, that you have tried to squeeze out at any turn from having any kind of independent, you know, the league makes it very difficult for independent outlets to report on there. And now they're lazy. I mean, this was just a tone deaf week of Don Garber.
Sing it, join.
Of Dun, of Dungar, and
join.
So I, it's you know, I mean, so that's the larger. The other thing, well, I have many things to say.
Donnie G ran. You're not into what? What's going on at MLS. This has become an MLS HQ Donnie G type thing. Like,
well, I mean, it's he irked me. His statements irked me this week. In a way that I don't feel like, you know, I'm not predisposed to be critical of him. Okay, so there's Donnie G, there's Messi, the MLS Messi League Soccer. And then there's NYCFC. I have a lot of things to say about it. The thing about Messi, to me now, Inter Miami games are on my schedule. Like, I will watch. I watch the Inter Miami RS. It's a fascinating thing on many levels.
Right.
Messi is Messi, and many things can be true. Right. Like, he is incredible. He has assembled. He's brought some of his friends who are helping him. But at the same time, if they just walk away with the league this year, it's pathetic. It's a referendum against MLS. If this is just, and we had two, we saw two, well, I guess it depends. The RSL's performance was just pathetic. Like, it was a pathetic showing by RSL against the Miami team that is vulnerable. It's not like they are not all like Suarez's legs don't work. I don't know why he's playing, why he's starting. He doesn't seem fit.
No.
So they defend with eight people.
Sergio Busquets has become a turnover machine.
Right? Sergio Busquets is also looking a little tired. Jordi Alba is like, why do I have to defend? Nobody else is. What is it? I'm in the back line. I have to like actually try to keep up with these people. They don't really have a midfield. So it's like, yeah, they have some high quality players, but they also have a lot of weaknesses. And RSL was just pathetic, toothless, absolutely toothless. The entire time. This kid, Diego Luna, we've now decided is like the next big thing. I like his look. He's got good hair. What is, like, he doesn't complete a pass. What?
We didn't decide that. MLS decided that.
Yeah, who, like,
I've been hearing his name for 6 months, and I'm like, who is this kid? I don't know who this kid is. He's like, it's just some kid. I don't know.
An unimpressive, very unimpressive showing from the whole. The offense of RSL was as I said in a group chat of mine, was as unstructured as Pablo Mastroianni's Blazer, which is very good looking, but it worked for the Blazer, did not work for the offense. Anyway, so I am waiting for teams to step up against Inter Miami, much like last year. And I'm still very proud of NYCFC's Nachador performance in that regard, where we went harder at them in that stupid, meaningless friendly than RSL did in the season.
You can't criticize Donnie G, but be perfectly fine with the Nachador game. That's part of it.
No, I was perfectly fine with our performance in it because we showed up to give them a game, and we won anyway.
Watch the LA Galaxy game, though. That's a different story.
I did well, but again, I think that bolsters my point similarly, because again, in the olden days, like 2 years ago, pretty messy, you would say road team, long trip, road team on short rest where the home team has not played in midweek is like 80% a win for the home team. Like, there is no, it's not a good setup for the road team. Doesn't matter if it's Mets or whoever it is. Like, just as a general thing, like, you had these, you know, when the schedule was more stretched out. Now games are more combined, but this used to happen all the time, that you had these gimme games where it was like, oh, one team played midweek and then they had to travel across the entire country to play again on the weekend against a team that hadn't played midweek, and that just never works. Like, it's like your short rest, you're traveling, like, you just almost, I mean, NYCFC did this frequently. You almost always lose. If you get a tie, you're ecstatic. So, and here this is the setup for this LA Galaxy. And, you know, to LA Galaxy's credit, they definitely did not start as feebly as RSL did. They attacked. But then they don't win either. It's like Messi squeezes one out in stoppage time. The substitute ref, who is, I guess, a DJ, perhaps the first man bun referee we've had in MLS. Can't say this.
He looked like
can't say this with 100%. He had it, but there was a picture going around Twitter of his hair. And he's a DJ, probably a lovely guy. He was very handsy throughout the game, like very expressionistic.
I thought
gestures.
He was good. Yeah, you're saying he wasn't good.
That was not a red card for Marky Delgado. Well, Marky Delgado's second yellow was not a yellow.
He was. I mean, he got cards, and then Marky Delgado got two soft yellow cards.
He got one soft yellow card, which he had. Well, it wasn't a soft. It was like he had no one to blame but himself for kicking the ball away or whatever. Right. I mean, that was borderline, but whatever. The one that was not a yellow card. You didn't even touch the guy.
I have to look. I don't know what at the time. I didn't have a problem.
That was not. And then they tied. I mean, I don't know. Is that why they tied it? I don't know. Is that you know, they had a penalty. They had a penalty. Drake Callender who had a pretty rough preseason. He shipped like 6 goals in every game, and people were questioning. Had a great game. It was incredible. I mean, an incredible penalty save. And another had another incredible. So, you know, okay. So, but
LA Galaxy missed a lot of opportunities, though. They should have capitalized.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the XG was like 3.8 for them or something like that, and they got one.
Like 0.2 in the first half.
Yeah, it was. So it was a tough one. Again, a tough one for the field. I mean, I'm sort of collecting. I mean, I also, I'm not. It's not even that I'm rooting. I'm not anti-Miami. I think, but they got to earn it. Like, this was 4 points where they should have had, like, 1 or 2. And
well, it's part of the ongoing story. Like, last year, I think Carlos Vela said it. He's like, I don't give a crap who I'm playing again. Like, play. The biggest issue, way too many young players were in awe.
And so people want to talk to... Everyone wants to talk to Messi. They have, like, things to say. You know, you can... I mean... I understand a little bit of that. I mean, obviously, this is a... What's that?
I'd want to break his leg. I want to beat Messi. I'll fight him afterwards, but I want to beat that guy. You know that goal they keep showing against New York Rebels when Messi just, like, outside-footed the assist to back and the throw? All 6 Rebels were, like, ball-watching. So frustrating to watch that. It's like, cover Messi, man-to-man, man.
Santi Rodriguez didn't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's my take. That's my take on all the this Miami team. I don't think is well balanced at all. I don't think why. I mean, the Suarez thing really is a head scratcher. Unless that's just like Messi's just decided that he's going to play every game because he is not right. And so, yeah, to be continued. But it is fascinating, and it's highly highly entertaining and interesting. And the Galaxy, I thought were going to do it, but then they didn't. And Messi did what he does, and Jordi Alba with a great assist. But the Galaxy should have won that.
In LA Galaxy's defense, they haven't made the playoffs since like 1999 or whatever. What was the last time they were playoffs?
Well, they got themselves a couple lively wingers, though, it looks like.
They had a big overhaul. quietly, Gabriel Peck. But, you know, Yoshida had to look at him. He's like 35. He's like captain's 35. So,
well, that's all right. He's a center back. It doesn't matter.
Anywho, I just thought it was a fun game. But yes, the Inter Miami juggernaut, Willie. I mean, it's got to fade off. It's season two. Play the game.
Well, and I mean, and these guys are all old. People are going to get hurt. They're going to miss some time. It's not going to.
He isn't going to work all year. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I don't know. He's like limping, literally. It's odd.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw his story from a few months ago, but every day, first things first, he has to drain his knee medically. Then he has to do like a medical injection of cortisone in his knee or something. He has to do a crazy routine just to walk for the day.
But he's been good in Brazil. I mean, it's not like
that's part of it. Like, he's going to do that here too. And I think he just has to figure out the team. He'll start leading it. However, when Leo Campana came on the field, who was a star last year, he's one of their better players. He's young, he's fresh, he runs, he defends. He's who you need in that number nine spot. You don't need it. Like, these guys are amazing, but they're not over 30. They're over 35.
Yeah.
All of them, I think. I don't know how old Jordi Alba is, but. Is Busquets over 35? But they're old.
Busquets is 35, yeah. Yeah, they're, I mean.
They can't. The more of them there are, the slower the whole team is in general. So.
And if two of them just don't defend at all, like, which they literally do not, like, if you. Which is why you have to just. I mean, Taylor Twellman actually was completely accurate, I thought, during the RSL game, where it's like, why are they so deep? Like, there's no reason. No one's running behind. Like, you're not going to get beaten over the top by any of these guys. So why are you standing back there? You know, like, and then when they have the ball, everybody's like, oh, we got to, now what? You know, then you have the whole field in front of you where you can just push everybody a little further back. Yeah, the RSL game was bad. But anyway, the other thing, I have more things to rant about, and I haven't even gotten to NYCFC yet.
Keep going.
What really also irked me, and I guess this is probably the you know, like, watching a lot of Apple TV now, it's like, this is like, and you've said this all the time, it's like this, it's like listening to TV in a totalitarian state. It's like the Miami RSL game was a crap game. It was like a pathetic, like, RSL couldn't, inter Miami didn't need to exert themselves. RSL had nothing, was completely toothless, and they kept talking about as if we were watching like the 1974 World Cup final or whatever. And it's, you know, it's also, I guess there's probably instruction from above to not criticize the replacement refs. That barely sort of comes up. These are all scab. These are all scab refs.
You were so replacing. Never came up. Refs never came up.
Never came up. And it's like, I turned the sound off. I was like, I don't even need to listen. This is not worth my time listening to this. I can like watch the game, listen to some music. It's unfortunate they don't let you pick the. Actually, I will say,
Joe Tatino.
I thought Lloyd's honorable mention to Lloyd Sam, who was on the call for the Charlotte NYCFC game, who I thought did a great job.
Yeah, New York Rebels.
Oh,
he was with Joe Tolleson, right? Or
DC or DC United, great. I don't know. He was not with Joe. I don't think he wasn't with Joe Tolleson. I don't know who the play-by-play guy was.
He was a good play-by-play guy.
All right. Well, you say something, and then I'll get into my team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like, what's this, the state of covering the league? Like, everything shut down. And the thing with Apple is it's just a big advertiser. So, like, all this content, even with Essence content, it's like it's all fluff content anyway. They don't have any real content to offer. There's no real analysis. There's no real criticism of the fact that the MLS rules and roster weren't released till the morning of, you know, with their Inter Miami stuff. You know, there's stuff to talk about. The refs is a big one. They're like, it's state-run media. So they are the themselves. It is what it is, whatever. That is the disadvantage of leaving an ESPN, even though they were plenty censored too, and going to MLS. And like you said, they censor anything that's interesting.
Well, and there's a middle ground. There's a middle ground, right? And ESPN, the ESPN blowhards, it was always open season on MLS. You know, it's like, I think making fun of the league that you're covering is not the answer either. Like, I think there's some...
There's a clear difference between Football Americas and MLS 360. If you see the two, I give Football Americas a lot of... That's probably one of the best, if not the best, American soccer show in mainstream media today.
Oh, the KDAP, the one that KDAP does?
Football Americas is ESPN FC's show on American soccer.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's by Hercules Gomez and Sebastian Salazar. It's the only, like, American soccer TV show that's an independent TV show. The rest you have to get from us, independent journalism. But, like, you know, if it's not The Athletic...
I'm not a journalist. I'm just some guy talking.
Yeah, me too. If the Athletic is the only independent institution that covers the league properly, they're the only ones, and they're having they have enough struggles as it is trying to get access.
Yeah,
it's not enough either because they've been slashed to hell. But that's a different rant. The other thing was we had a lot of news, like the Kai Wagner and Matt Miazga suspensions were canceled the morning of. They never brought that up either.
Well, no, but they have this new, this also is very much, it's also very much like a Soviet
right.
TV station would do it. Like, oh, here's an announcement from we have a great new program. It's like, you're like, what is it? The diversity?
It's the anti-discrimination. It's like, they didn't bring up the fact that they canceled Kai Wagner.
Well, I think this was sort of the explanation, right? We have now, we're not just going to, it's not going to be. But you have to read between the lines. This is not explained well. It sounds like it is going to be less.
Nothing. What class? What plan? What? It's not. It's the same.
No. It sounds it was restorative. It's a focus on restorative practices. I think the way I read it, and I have no inside information whether that's true or not, but that was my impression. And that goes hand in hand with these canceled suspensions. We're not going to treat these things just punitively. We're going to try and teach people things and not just be like, oh, this is bad, 6-game suspension. It's going to be like, there's going to be a process and everybody's going to talk about stuff and learn things. And so it's not just punitive, but it could still be punitive if that's warranted. But our focus is not on that. We're going to try and teach things.
Taxi Fountas has said the N-word twice on the field.
Well, he's gone.
He needs a restorative course that'll just fix
no. But that's up. I think the point is that certain there is. Well, I mean, we all agreed that some of this stuff was pretty heavy-handed, right? Like your guy Dante. Who said monkey to a white person? Like,
and got a
6-game suspension. Kai Wagner. I mean, where Ernst Tanner came out and said, like, you know, if you speak the language, what the other guy said was worse, like kind of a thing. So there was some heavy handedness in the way that these suspensions were handled. And I think this is a response to that. They're saying we're going to have a little bit more nuance and we're not going to like when people are just being dumb, if somebody. Yeah, if you say the N-word repeatedly, then you have no place in the league. But if somebody's just, this might be a language issue or whatever it is, there's going to be a little bit of a more nuanced approach is what I'm reading into it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Sure, but going back to what you're saying, we have no goal line technology. We're not paying our refs. U.S. Open Cup, we've withdrawn from U.S. Open Cup. None of that is being shown on TV. Just this constant showing of this new anti-discrimination policy they're really proud of.
Well, okay. No, I'm not saying...
Goal-line technology, for crying out loud. We went on that for years. You know what I'm saying? It's just there's more that anything that they have just a platform to toot their own horn.
But this, it's not either... Yeah, okay, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's we're not disagreeing. I'm saying that's what I'm saying. It's like it's presented with this like communicate with this like legalese language over and over instead of somebody explaining like what I just said. I mean, I think what I'm saying is probably true, but I don't know, you know, anyway.
This conversation we just had should have been an MLS 360. They should have debated. They should have explained. They should have, but they can't.
Instead of constantly just yelling at us how great everything, how like these players are amazing, how exciting the fans, you know, it's like just a constant hype. It's a constant hype train. Everybody's like, oh, look at the atmosphere, the celebrities, the fans showed up, the 32.
Every FC Dallas game, it's always the refugee camp kid. He came from refugee. They said over and over and over for months. And I'm like, okay, fine. If you're a decent soccer player.
It's like, it's tiresome. It's a little tiresome.
MLS,
it's heavy.
Pull back a little bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I mean, I'm pro. I like the league, but the more, you know, if I watch a snoozer of a game and then I'm being told like this is like, you know, high quality, it's like I get less enthusiastic. Let me decide how I feel about all this. Don't tell me how great, you know, it's desperate. It's a little desperate.
It's like we have more goals per capita than any other league.
Right. Or like football, how it's meant to be. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, MLS,
the leagues. I mean, this is now happening everywhere because these leagues are in competition with each other. And I mean, this is not also specific to MLS. Now, Derek Ray also goes around. Like he is has become part of his mission on ESPN to tell us how great the Bundesliga is. I mean, this is not unique to MLS. I guess all of the leagues feel like they need to hype themselves, but MLS is really, because it's unbridled, because it's their own platform, and there's some real issues with these replacement refs that just aren't being discussed. All right. And then
you think, has anyone ever like been converted because someone proselytized the league? You think anyone's ever wait a minute, more goals? I got to start tuning in. Or do you think, oh, he's from a refugee camp? Hello, season tickets.
I'm down. I'm buying.
Right? I'm saying it looks bad and it doesn't work. So stop doing it. But anyway, keep going. So now.
Well, it's just like, if it's all so fluffy feel, you know, if it all just feels.
Yeah, do they think we're idiots?
It feels like they're being told to do it. It doesn't feel authentic.
Maybe because.
I mean, it doesn't feel real. Because they're being told, yeah, because that's what's happening. Yeah, exactly.
They handed the script. Yeah, they handed the script.
And that's why they didn't why Ian Joy is not there, because he's a bit of a wild card. Anyway, so, and then NYC, well, we don't even have to talk about it all that long. It's one game, but since Danielle asked what are my thoughts, I felt pretty deflated, I got to say. I was pretty high on the new arrivals. We were told we had a new high-powered offense. We were told there was going to be we were going to play higher and press, and that was not in evidence. It was like we got more of the. I mean, it seems like we like to have these wingers that really are not real wingers. Hannes Wolf, who you maligned in the previous hour, or said that his departure had freed Mönchengladbach. Anyway, so he looked good. I think he's going to be a solid guy. Him and Santi Rodriguez have some real chemistry. Unfortunately, they play sort of the same position. This kind of happened last year when we got Richie Ledesma, and then this was like. Hannes Wolf is significantly better than Richie Ledesma, so we have that.
Is Ledesma still by you guys?
No, he's not. He left. I don't know where he went. He was kind of a bust, I gotta say. He was unimpressive throughout the we have all these wingers that want to pull inside, and we don't, and our fullbacks are no good at offense, so we have no width. As a team, we don't have width. And so we are very easy to defend. You just kind of sit back and everything's coming at you from the middle, and nobody's running behind, and nobody is the fullbacks did get forward a little bit, but then they can't cross. At fullback, we have not gotten any upgrades. We still have O'Toole. I guess we have Tavon Gray was mostly the starter last year on the right side. Now we have Mitja Ilinic, the young, is he Slovenian or Slovakian? Slovakian, I think. Anyway, he's very young and he's got a lot of bounce, but he's not a good crosser of the ball either. So anyway, it looked like more of the same, and the weaknesses of last year of being pretty one-dimensional offensively were still on display, even though the personnel looked a little better. And then we gave up another cheap set-piece goal where Keaton Parks was kind of thinking about his young family, maybe, but not about the guy who was in front of him and headed the ball into the short corner.
You want to take his baby away from him, don't you?
I love Stephen
when you have 10 assists.
I love Keaton Parks. I guess this is my theme of this week. Like all the people I love let me down. Don Garber, MLA.
Burning Bjorn, or what do we call that?
Well, it just felt like, it's one of those again. Matty Freeze saved a penalty. I was like, come on, let's make this mean something. And it did not. It was a pretty, I mean, you know, obviously early days and we can't, I want to believe I was not a Cushing out guy. I was ready to give him the benefit of the doubt, being that that he really didn't have a squad to work with, but this is not gonna last long. Like if this doesn't get figured out, he's got to be on a short leash, because he has a squad, he has the squad he wanted, he says. And so, you know, if he's going to keep running everybody straight down route one, that's not gonna work. We got a little look at our 18-year-old Serbian striker talent. I didn't even know he was in town. Then he was on the bench, and then he came in, and he's a thick-looking 18-year-old, I will say. He likes his shorts very tight, and he likes to tussle. He got in there. He mixed it up, but that was it. I don't think he got a shot off. Not a lot happened. Our number 9, Munsef Bakrar, then had to go on the right. I don't know. And he kind of did well. He delivered a couple of crosses like nobody else could. So, and then Santi Rodriguez had the best chance to equalize, and he just whiffed it. Yeah, it was deflating. It wasn't like, there were some positives. Like I said, Hannes Wolf, I think, is going to be good for us. I mean, we have other people come in. The other winger, Ojeda, hasn't arrived yet. But there is just the press that we were so, there's so much talk about the press. We're going to, you know, the line is going to be higher. And the press was just as weak as it was last season. I don't know. I didn't look at any numbers, but Charlotte's press was way more dangerous than ours. I mean, okay, we're on the road, et cetera, whatever. First game. But this, I was hyped up, and it was a punctured, my enthusiasm was a punctured balloon 20, 30 minutes in.
Well, two things. First is, I'm looking at your NYCFC website here. I think I've said this before. Danny Sapero is your goalkeeping coach?
Danny
Sapero, yeah, he's a New York Red Bulls super legend. Why is he your goalkeeping coach? He should be our goalkeeping coach.
Wait, but we have, what's his name? Christian.
Well, it says he's been the academy coach since 2018. And I don't know, maybe he's listed as the NYCFC goalkeeping coach. He is famous for when he played for the New York Red Bulls, he scored a goal from his goal. He put it up, kicked it, went whoop. One. And it was his only game he ever played, I think. He was the backup goalkeeper. And he's a Harvard alum. He went to Harvard. He's played college soccer at Harvard. So he's one of
What's his name?
Danny Separo. Just look up New York City FC goalkeeping coach.
He's not on the website. I don't know. Where are you looking?
Yeah, look under coaching staff. Nick Cushing, head coach. Danny Separo, goalkeeping coach. Assistant
what,
coach.
Which website are you on?
And the Wikipedia website.
Oh, the Wikipedia. I don't. Is that official?
Yeah, well, who knows? Anyway. I've
never heard this name before. I know Rob Vertugian is an assistant who was working with the goalkeepers, and he's still there.
Separo is a New York Rebels goalkeeping coach. Give him back. Give him back right
he's
now.
Not. I think you can. I think this is a mistake. I don't think he's on the staff. Not according to the official website.
He better not be. That's what I'll say.
We got a Canadian guy, Leon. I think he's actually English, but he was in Canada. Leon Hapgood. Maybe Bellucci, we've got.
Keep him. Anyway, that's first. Secondly, I have very clear memories of opening day last year. You were so excited. You're like, Stefan, it's spring. We're going to stadiums again. I'm so happy. It's my favorite time of year. That's not what I'm hearing this year. It's totally different.
It's not.
Are you home next week? When's your home game?
No, we're going to St. Louis next week, and then we're at home against Portland. The week after that.
I'm going to try to go to one of the LA games as soon as I can.
Daniel Young says that... I'm sorry.
Please? I'm done.
Daniel Young says, Talis Magno should have started the game. Yeah, I don't know what it is with Talis and Nick Cushing. He must have said something about his wife. Or I don't know. There is something... Baldhead. I mean, I think Talis...
Call him Uncle Fester.
Talis has been disappointing. And Nick Cushing has not helped this. But it's not Nick Cushing's fault that Talis has been so bad. I mean, he's been bad. He's not as bad as, like, I think he didn't even get into three or four games in a row last season. He's not that. I mean, he should play. But he's also, you know, he's not the answer. He came off the bench and he had a couple of sort of lost touch. I mean, he's a kid also in search of his confidence. And he looked like he had some. He was gaining some at the end of last year. I mean, weirdly, this team is now very deep. There's a lot of competition for these spots. And we'll have to see how it all shakes out.
Well,
Talis should have started. I mean, he would have. Santi Rodriguez was on the left. Anyway, we'll see. What are you going to say? That's it.
There were two New York teams that played that weekend.
Forsberg hit the crossbar.
Crossbar. The New York Rebels went to Nashville SC and
zero goals,
unfortunately. But I'm feeling different. I think the New York Rebels are still playing with that pep. They move the ball really well. I don't know if you saw the game, but it was all Rebels. Nashville had one or two counterattacking chances at best.
I mean, we started our season in Nashville last year, and that did not go well at all. So not bad.
Yeah, we did better. We saw Emil Forsberg. He, you know, he's fine. He's there. He's committed. He's got the captain's arm bag. I think he's playing his heart out. Our schnitzel boy, Ryan Baker, was sitting front row, kept sending me pictures throughout the game. He's a Nashville SC season ticket holder. He's been on this podcast before. Nashville, in Nashville's defense, they were without Daniel Sturridge, who's going to be all their goals. They were without Hani Mukhtar, who's their linchpin. They were without Walker Zimmerman.
Oh, wow, okay.
Captain. They were without.
What's wrong with all these? Everybody's hurt. What's the deal?
They're injured or something. There's also a fifth key player who wasn't there either. I forgot who it was. They were missing like their five key players. We were only missing two of our key players. No John Tolkien and no Lewis Morgan. He came off the bench like Zimmerman did. So for us, we're still waiting for Tolkien and Zimmerman. Not Zimmerman. We're still waiting for Tolkien and thankfully Lewis Morgan to get healthy. But the big, we move the ball well. We're up top. We're in the box over and over and over again. But our big issue is who's scoring goals. Elias Manuel, you know,
it's Forsberg.
Well, or it's Dante Van Zier. It should be Forsberg and Van Zier together. That's what I'm hoping, but they still have to figure it out. Van Zier still needs to get going. Forsberg, you know, it's only been one game. It's connecting preseason. So I'm hoping our goals come from Van Zier and a healthy Lewis Morgan, knock on wood, if he can finally be healthy this year. Elias Manoel is not the answer, I don't think.
1.5 XG to 0.2.
Right.
Wow. All right. Respect.
So, yeah. New York Rebels were looking great. However, there's no finishers. There's no goal scorers right now. Someone needs to step up. Is it going to be Dante? Is it going to be Forsberg? I don't think it's going to be Manoel. And in typical foreigner fashion, they're like, he's Brazilian, let's start him. And then he benched him in the 60th minute when he realized the dude couldn't really score any goals. Typical Manoel. He got himself in good positions, but when it came to time to finish, it was to the keeper or out of bounds, like always. No, nowhere in between. You know, so it's not Manoel. Maybe we'll get rid of him over the summertime. Who knows? You know, it looked good. All I'm waiting for is goals. Everything else, thumbs up. We look good tactically. There's some surprises. Peter Stroud started over Wiki Carmona on the right wing. And Dylan Neal has played left back over J-Mai, but that's because J-Mai's injured. But also it shows that we just don't, we have no depth. Now the offseason was kind of a deflation because the promise of resources and investment, and all that really meant was Emil Forsberg. And then I guess Sandro Schwartz and the gang was the investment. But I challenged that because Troy Lesane was amazing. Went to DC United and they had a great game, 3-1 over whoever they were playing. Troy Lesane's the real deal. And DC United just got themselves a gift of a coach. Maybe some other New York team should have hopped on him when they had the chance. But Sandro Schwartz and the gang seem to, the boys are playing for them. Seems to be going well. High press, high energy, moving the ball well. They know each other well. Emil Forsberg is in it to win it. His heart's in it. I'm liking it. All I'm waiting for are the goals. Our goal is going to come. Is Lewis Morgan going to get healthy? Is he going to plug himself in? I'm still waiting on that moving forward. But overall, you know, I was pleased. I was pleased to do that in Nashville. I was very pleased. So that's my New York Rebels report. Seba S, if you're listening.
Your guy Lewis Morgan came off the bench.
Yeah, he came off the bench. But he's still injured. He's not
100%. But I mean, that's pretty good, though. He didn't play much at all last year.
Yeah, I mean, Dante Van Zier is coming off a serious injury, and Lewis Morgan's coming off a very serious injury. So the fact that they both played, and Dante seems to be 90 minutes fit, is a good sign. Lewis Morgan missed a whole season, though. So it's not just about being healthy, it's getting
better. Yeah, it's gonna take a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute. So we're looking on that.
That's like a new signing in a way.
Yeah,
exactly. And he was good for you when he was playing.
He was our goals 2 seasons ago. That's why we struggled with goals. So is Lewis Morgan going to get his groove back? Is Emma Forsberg going to start scoring? And is Dante Van Zier going to get a groove going? That's what I got my eyes on. I don't think it's going to be Manoel. I don't think it's going to be Roland Mitchell, this new kid they got. I don't think it's going to be those guys. I think it's the 3 guys I mentioned. That's where you're going to get your goals. So I'm hoping.
And what's the word on the street? You're getting more as more people come in, or?
No. I guess. Essentially, we have 3 signings. We had Emil Forsberg, and then Noah Ellie, who started, played 90, did well.
Have you sent a handwritten apology letter to that Coachella guy?
Handwritten? You better believe I did. I stamped it.
Good.
I forever stamped good. On it.
Very good. Mailed
to his address, Anytown, USA.
Yeah, that was the correct way to handle it.
Thank you. I did it right. I got it certified, so he has to sign for it.
Okay. That's very good. Yeah.
And I have
you want to make sure that he opens it up. This demanded more than just, oh, sorry, dude.
I put a self-addressed stamped envelope in it if he wants to reply. I told him next time he's in LA, I'm going to take him out to the ball game. I'm going to watch some Anaheim Angels.
You're going to take him out to the ball game.
Yeah. Dodgers too expensive. Angels more cheaper at the party. Anywho, so that's my dear Rebels report. It's like, it's looking good. Let's see if these boys can start scoring some goals. Let's hope, right?
Well, I we'll see.
Big news. Here's one though. This concerns both of us.
Okay.
Fox Sports, which is MLS's only TV partner, really, in the English language realm, at least in the MLS realm, in total, I believe, released their broadcast schedule, and we saw by city how many games they're getting. Someone's getting six. I forgot who it was. Maybe Atlanta or someone. Miami is only getting two, but I guarantee you they would love them all. But MLS probably limited them to two. One on Fox, one on FS1. New York Red Bulls and NYCFC both combined are getting zero. Zero coverage from Fox Sports all season long. 23 clubs in MLS are having Fox Sports nationally broadcast games. At least one. Like I said, one team's getting six. Others are getting two or three. Both New York teams are getting zero. What's that all about? Should we be worried? What's going on? Is the New York soccer market just not interesting to anybody?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shame on you, Fox Sports. Should have some New York games. Not that I care that much. You know, MLS.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean.
But still. You know,
where it's going to be Apple all the way. It's at this point. Who cares? I mean, why did they even have games?
Because for people, I'm telling you, online, everyone's just right away. It's like Apple TV was bad. It's not going to grow the game. It's not going to grow the game. And it's like it was on TV for 27 years. It grew the game 0% that entire time. Since last year, the subscriber base has doubled.
That's because of Messi.
But that kind of. When was the last time MLS had 100% growth in viewers ever in 1 year? Never.
Those are big numbers.
So I'm deflating the whole. How are you going to grow the game? It's like who? Fox and ESPN were growing MLS. No, they weren't. Nonsense. MLS was always for the fans. It's like if you're already a fan, you're a fan. The only way to be a new fan is if a new club comes into town. That's where the new fans are from. I am seeing a little bit of like, hi, I'm in New York. Should I choose Red Bulls or MLS? That is starting to happen, but I think that's part of the Messi effect. I didn't see a lot of that beforehand. So growing the game, I think Apple TV is doing just fine. I mean, for right now. And if we get those lazy journalists off their butt to write about stuff that isn't.
Growing the game is you know, bringing in the greatest player of all time. And the Apple CEO was quoted. Did you read that? Where the somebody high up at Apple was asked, like, if they ask me what to do, you know, what do I want to say? Sign more players, get more. And it's like, all right, there's not that many Messies out there. I don't know. But
that spurned a meeting yesterday between Don Garber and half of the owners in Miami. Did you read about this?
I heard there was a meeting. I don't know what they discussed. Did they tell you? Did they call you? Text you? Don?
They texted me. No, it was about player investment. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You said it's so easy to say sign big players. Imagine if Messi didn't come. It was just Jordi Alba, Busquets, and Luis Suarez. Three big players, right?
Nobody would care.
Would that have moved any sort of needle?
No.
Barely. Right. There's just like with Beckham, every now and then there's a player who comes along that has an effect. Embrace it, enjoy it while it lasts. But when it's done, it's done. It's not like when Messi's gone, you bring in Neymar, it's the same shit. No. Or Vinny Jr., it's the same stuff. No. I mean, the greater players will grow. That will happen. But it's not like there's a plethora. That's why the NASL kind of folded. And that's what MLS is trying to avoid. You know, Christian Benteke scored a hat trick, man, over the weekend. He's a destroyer. Yeah. But, you know, is Christian Benteke packed?
Yeah, he's the
crowd? No. DC United's not a full house. It's a Christian Benteke. You know, so, you know, would Thomas Muller pack the Chicago Stadium?
I believe? That's the thing. There's nobody like Messi. It's just Messi. I mean, Mbappe.
Not now. I don't think. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe
not in the same. Not in the same way. Not in the same. But there isn't. There aren't. Yeah. It's not that many. There's not that many people you can get that are like that.
Nobody does it better
than Lionel.
That's a James Bond song. I don't know.
Lionel.
Leo Messi. The only thing that'll make it better is have Cristiano Ronaldo be in LA and have them play each other once a year. That would be extra amazing. But you know, what are you gonna do?
It's only a couple of years left for both of those guys.
If you follow my TikTok, you'll see how fat Neymar has become. He's gotten really fat. I don't know if you've seen it.
he was gonna NYCFC. Take all the wingers and they're all going to play. They're all cut inside immediately. As soon as they get off the plane, they get on the plane a winger. They get off the plane a central midfielder.
And Neymar, if you offer him a wing, he'll take it. I'll tell you that.
Oh, hey now.
Hey-o.
All right, good one.
Refs overall, they
this year.
But I'll say the refs.
This week, if you're only going to pick one, if you're, I guess you wouldn't if you listened this far. But if you're choosing one this week, listen to the USA Hour. Don't listen to the Germany Hour.
Well, it was the Germany Hour. You had a good discussion on the marketing.
Okay.
I thought it was good. Right. I don't poo my own content. We had a good discussion. The USA Hour is you ranting an hour about how much you talk over the TV. And you're like, listen to that. Listen to that. It's all good content. I'm saying. We love it all. Here the shit to vote if we're not state-run TV.
We are not. No, we are not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, every show is great.
It's all great. Well, it's a little bloody fun. Anyway, I thought the refs did okay, but the original refs do need to get paid. I don't think quality suffered in any way. In fact, a lot of ways, I enjoyed the refereeing a little better, a little more careful. They used VAR more, which is what I've been talking about for a while. But, you know.
I don't know. The Galaxy Miami game, it took them 6 minutes to decide a goal was good. That was clearly good.
It was a delay.
It took me from my own couch. It took me 10 seconds to determine that it was fine.
I should have just called you. Anywho,